Podcasting, the boisterous part of the fastest game in the world. So strap on your lids and lace them up, Rook. You're listening to the Barn Chirpers Hockey Podcast.
Take a lap.
Pump it up, boys.
Yes.
We're back for another episode of the Barn Chirpers, and you know that because you're listening to us. Follow us at the Instagram, the threads, at Barn Chirpers Pod. Look on the internets for us at Barn Chirpers Pod. You can find us on the YouTubes and all that. Your boy was on the IR last week, but it's okay. Everything's all good to go. I'm ready to back. I went from day-to-day to healthy, back to day-to-day, and now I'm back on the ice starting lineup, and we're here. So if you missed us last week, sorry about it. Things happen, but not much really happened over the last week, truly. I mean, nothing really happened, so you didn't miss much, really. But today we're going to talk about the wild card spots that nobody seems to want to take, and then we're going to do a little talk about the bottom 16 teams and whatever else comes up in this next, we say 30, but it'll probably be like 45, probably, yeah, more than likely, true. Knowing us. But, I mean, hot off the presses, Justin, this is a little bit of somber news. And I'm not even a Devils fan, but Jack Hughes hurt again. Again. Can this guy stay healthy? Truly. Like, can this guy stay healthy? Because he's done for the season. I mean, the season was over, let's be real. But a shoulder surgery, so now he's out for the, you know, the rest of, you know, whatever it is, 10 days left. That's really my question. Can this guy stay healthy? I'm not even a Devils fan, and it's frustrating. Like, this is his fourth major injury, right?
It's twice this year he got injured, but it's the same thing. It's the same injury. He's been playing hurt since he came back. And if you watch the games, you could tell, like, there's been no magic on Jack's stick. You look at the Anaheim game where in like literally the last 2 seconds we get a penalty call and he doesn't even get a shot off. The other night in Nashville, in the shootout, he blows a shot in the shootout. He just hasn't been himself. He's been playing hurt. So on one hand, I'm glad he's getting the surgery and not playing the last three meaningless hockey games, four if you count last night's game, that mean nothing. And in all reality, you know, other than the first Toronto game, I mean, look, dude's been playing hurt and still managing to produce, you know, again, not the same Jackie Magic, but he's still been managing to produce points. So if you look at the stats, it doesn't look like he was, but it's clear he was hurt. I'm just glad he's getting the surgery, and I'm hoping that he can come back next year. I'm hoping he hits the weight room. it is a good question. Can the guy stay healthy? Because when he is, like you saw at the beginning of the year, he was leading the league in points, and there is something magic about Jack Hughes. But bro, like, I think a big part of it is the fact that I mean, I'm sure we'll get into more of this as the show goes on, but I think this all kind of stems from like what the Devils' biggest, one of the biggest problems in Devils hockey was this year, is they don't have size, they don't have fight, and people would just come in and push Jack, push Nico with no repercussions. These guys would get shoved around. Now, Jack didn't get hurt because of some foul play, I don't think. I think he just kind of slipped and went into the boards and jacked his shoulder up. But still, like, people would come in and beat them up. And that's why Nico missed games for a concussion. So I joke about him hitting the weight room, but I need him to hit the weight room. I'm serious. I need him to hit the weight room. I need him to throw his body around so people don't come at him, so he can stay on the ice. Like, you can't produce magic if you're hurt, man. And we've seen that the last month. It's just he hasn't been the same.
Well, Jack Hughes, you're going to have a whole team around you. But in case you don't, Jack Hughes, or anybody else out there, maybe you should download the Hard Work Works Fitness app. Because it's in your app store, it's a free download, and there's workout plans designed from a full gym, a home gym, or no gym at all, the Hard Work Works Fitness app has got it covered. From customized to pre-designed programs, all available in the app, Hard Work Works Fitness takes a meticulous approach to designing the best fit for you. So whether you're a professional athlete like Jack Hughes, or you're just a regular 9-to-5-er like we are, or just getting into a fitness routine, or maybe you're an athlete, a weekend athlete, either way. But what are you waiting for? The Hard Work Works Fitness app delivers. And that's all I got to say about that. And if you sign up today, you can use the code CHIRP and get 10% off of your order. money back. Money off. Who loves that? I love that. You're also going to get a free nutrition guide if you sign up today or when you're hearing this episode. Just use the code CHIRP, get 10% off, and a free nutrition guide so you can stay on track. It's that simple. Decide, commit, succeed, and join the hustle today. Hard Work Works Fitness app.
That's right. The entire Devil's locker room needs to do that.
Devils, if you don't have, you could hire me, New Jersey Devils, or any other professional team. I will, the Hard Work Works Fitness app will design a program for you and get you, put some size on so you can not get beat up every single year, in your season there. But with that said, these places are set. These teams are in the playoffs: New York Rangers, Carolina Hurricanes, Boston Bruins, Florida Panthers, Toronto Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay Lightning. Over in the West, Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Vancouver, Edmonton, Nashville. All those teams have clinched a playoff spot. Literally, it's interesting, and also at the same time, like, come on. The Metropolitan, the third place in the Metro, and third place in the Pacific, and the second wild card in the West, and the second wild card in the East. These teams just can't put it away. And it is exciting to a sense, but to me, truly, I'm so frustrated with it. Like, come on. You guys are terrible. Every single one of you. I'm talking to you, New York Islanders, Washington Capitals, Pittsburgh Penguins, Detroit Red Wings, Philadelphia Flyers, Vegas Golden Knights, and LA Kings. You're all terrible. You suck. You're terrible. Clinch a spot already. Like, do you even want to get in? Because it looks like you don't. Truly. You're like, maybe. Maybe we'll clear out our schedule. Maybe we won't, because we're going to lose this game. First off, just your thoughts on this, like, slug's pace to clinch some playoff spots.
It is brutal. The East race is brutal. It is, and it has been. Like, the fact that the Devs didn't get Devs and the Sabres, to be clear, didn't get mathematically eliminated until last night with three games left. There's no reason those teams should have been in. Like, they should not have been included in this conversation.
In the conversation, yeah, for real. Buffalo's been done since like December.
Right. But they weren't mathematically out. You know what I mean? So they were going out there and they're playing. But your boys seem to like try to do their part. You know, they'll win and then they'll drop.
And then they lost to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Then they lost to Ottawa, of all teams. Ottawa. Yeah. Are you kidding me? The second worst team in the league and you lost to them.
Yeah.
To that same point, since we're on that, like, truly now, and this is blasphemy to say it for saying this, I hope Pittsburgh clinches the wild card, because they're the only team in the East that's actually been playing their butts off, trying to win. Everybody else has, like, again, been losing to get in. They've been trying to lose to get in. Like, I love the Red Wings story. Obviously, went and saw them this year twice, back-to-back days. And I love that. Love seeing that team on the ice and like, oh my gosh, this is great. But again, they lose Dylan Larkin for a few games and they can't win anything. They go on a losing streak. I just don't understand the Red Wings. I don't understand the Islanders. I mean, I've never understood the Islanders, to be fair. But Pittsburgh's the only team in that wild card race that's actually been trying to win and playing well. Nedeljkovic has been playing out of his mind right now. I think his contract's like $1.1 million. He's playing at like a $5 million pace, right? He's earning his spot. And he's actually taken over as like the 1A guy over Tristan Jarry. So I hope Pittsburgh gets in, truly. I really do. That's blasphemy for me to say that, but I really hope Pittsburgh gets in because Crosby deserves it for the type of year he's having. Crosby has earned it for this team to get in. There's no reason why they should get in other than they've been playing their butts off, and I hope they get in.
I want to echo that wholeheartedly because, like, again, it's blasphemy. I hate it. I hate the Penguins. I really do. But we talked about this off air before, but Sid got done dirty. They dealt away their players and, you know, like they left him no one. And it's like, well, I'm still here, man. And so he strapped on his skates and was like, all right, well, you want to do that to me? I'm going to carry him. I'm going to carry them all the way. And I mean, you know, obviously he's not the only one playing. Bunting has surprisingly been pretty solid for them. Letang.
And Bunting is actually like gotten Malkin out of his dark hole. Malkin has had a terrible year. Absolutely yes. Terrible. And it's very like, I don't even really know how to say what Malkin's year is like. Malkin's year has kind of been like, I don't know. This isn't the best way to describe it, but I feel Malkin's year has been like very entitled in the sense of, oh, I don't have anybody to play with. Moo, moo, moo. I don't have anybody on my line to play with, so I'm not going to play very well. And then you get a guy like Bunting, and all of a sudden he's ignited. Does that make sense, right?
Yeah,
It's not. I don't think entitled is exactly the right word, but it's kind of like that, where essentially, like, I don't have anybody to play with, and then all of a sudden you give them a solid, you know, forward, and oh, okay, I'll put the pucks in the net. Come on, man! Like, come on, come on.
But you know, again, like I don't really want them to, but like. They're the only team that's playing like they want it. So why shouldn't it be them? To that point, like I feel like the East is kind of wide open. There's Carolina, there's Florida, to a lesser extent New York, and everybody else. I mean, like again, you can't count out Tampa, but like I feel like it's everybody else.
Yeah, and I mean, it's surprising the fall off that the Flyers have had, but I think that also definitely has to do with Torts. And, you know, I like Torts as a coach, but I think over the last few weeks, this fall off with the Flyers, I think you can relate it back to Torts being in that old boys club, and it's his way or the highway. And I like that to an extent, but as you can see, like when you just continually dog your players, call them out in the media, scratch your captain multiple times, you're going to lose the room. And I think he lost the room, and the Flyers have fallen off, and they've fallen out of that third spot in the Metro, which they've held pretty much the entire year. The guys are just sick of it. Obviously I'm not in that room, so I don't know, but the boys are just sick of it. Like, Torts, shut F up. Seriously. That's kind of how it seems, you know? And it's funny in the sense where Torts, this was, I think last week, finally came back in a media scrum or whatever. And he actually like answered questions and was actually like sort of humble. Like, yeah, I messed up. I don't think he said he messed up, but I don't know if you heard that interview, but he was very, almost apologetic for how he called out his players. And essentially it was like, and it falls on me, something along those lines, but like trying to backtrack essentially, like, well, you messed up, Torts. Like, you had a playoff team that wasn't supposed to be there because they were still doing well after the trade deadline. And then all of a sudden, you know, So anyway, I know we're kind of gone over all over the place. If I was going to give you, okay, so we already kind of talked about the East. We both said that we would love to see Pittsburgh make it just because they're the only ones playing their butts off. But what about the West? So LA is in that third spot in the Pacific. Vegas is right behind them with 1 point off. So that's really the wild card race in the West is either LA or Vegas, because Nashville has that first spot pretty locked up. I mean, I guess technically, let me rephrase this. So Nashville is in that first spot with 95 points. They have three games left. Both LA and Vegas have a game in hand So LA has 93 points. Vegas has 92 points. Who would you rather see in that second wild card spot to play Dallas, Vegas, or LA?
Well, if I want to,
one of those is going to be in the second spot, probably.
If I want to preserve my cup prediction from the beginning of the season, then it's LA, because I think Dallas handles LA pretty easily. For the better hockey, for the better first round matchup, man, give me a disrespected Vegas. Like, give me Vegas with a chip on their shoulder going into the playoffs. I mean, does it mean anything? I don't know. Like, the way they've been playing hockey lately, who knows? But like, based on everything we saw last year, based on the talent that they have, Dallas Vegas is like a really interesting matchup to me. That could easily go seven.
Yeah, it really could. That would be interesting to see that for sure. Especially if Vegas actually pulls their head out of their butt and plays some hockey, because they haven't played very great hockey as of late. It's surprising to see. Well, not surprising where they're at now, but just the sort of downfall that they've had over the last couple of months, falling back down into a wild card spot even. All right, so final prediction: who locks up third of the Metro? Who gets the second wild card spot in the East? I mean, we kind of already talked about our wants, but who actually locks it up in your mind? Third place in Metro, second wild card.
The way the Isle is playing, and I know they're going out and getting a lot of loser points, but that's doing the trick. Like, it's doing it for them. So my gut says they hold on for dear life in that third spot, and Pittsburgh grabs the wild card. That's what my gut says. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the standing of the last streak. Pittsburgh is 6-1-3. The Isle is 7-3. So yeah, like you said, I mean, the Isle, they just keep picking up those one pointers in overtime. Again, 15 overtime losses, so 15 points from losing in overtime. Mm-hmm. And they've kind of, again, the door was open because nobody wants to win, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, okay, we'll pick up a point here, we'll pick up a point. All of a sudden they're in third. So yeah, I hate it, because obviously I hate the Isle. I've said that for a long time. Yeah, I think you're probably right. They are going to take third in the Metro. And same, I think Pittsburgh is going to get it done and get into that second wild card spot. And I hope they do. Like I said, it's blasphemy, but I hope they do. You know what? Let's see, because they have both teams have four games left. So a possibility of 8 points. So with four games, New York will probably go to overtime at least three of those. You know what? I'm going out on a limb, and I'm saying Pittsburgh ends up in the third spot in the Metro, and the Isle is going to be in the second wild card spot again. That's what I'm going with. That's my prediction.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
All right. So what about the West? Like I said, third place in the Pacific is up for grabs right now. LA Kings have four games left, and they have 93 points. Vegas has five games left at 92 points. LA is in that third spot in the Pacific. Vegas is in the second spot in the wild card. And I will say St. Louis, with four games left, has 87 points. So there's 8 points up for grabs. They very well could move into that wild card spot potentially. But so what's your pick? Who takes third in the Pacific, and who gets the wild card spot?
So let me address the Blues discussion first, since you brought them up. No way. I mean, yeah, mathematically they're not out yet, but to me, the Blues feel very much like Devil's West, where like you got nothing consistent from them all year. So I've seen nothing from the Blues that suggests that they can not only, because they probably have to get all four to like secure the spot. Like, sure,
they would 100% have to,
and I don't see that happening. Like, they're not that streaky, you know what I mean? Like, they're a chippy, we'll take two here, you know, lose one, take another one. I hate doing it because it's very chalky to everything we've said all year and everything we've said since we started this show. But until Vegas proves me, or until Vegas does me wrong, I can't pick against them. They're still Vegas Golden Knights. They're still the defending cup champions. And they're still, to me, the better team than Los Angeles. So my gut says with five games left, they get enough points to surpass LA. And LA ends up in that second wild card.
Yeah, I had to bring up the Blues just because they are right there. Technically, they could still get in. But, man, a funny stat is St. Louis Blues is the only team not to beat the San Jose Sharks this year. They're the only team not to do that.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I had to bring that up because they technically could get in, but I don't see them getting in either. I think Vegas is going to be able to get back up to the third spot in the Pacific, and LA will be in that second wild card spot. I just think with five games left, you know, they're going to do whatever they got to do to get that better seeding, because I don't think they want to play Dallas. I think they'd rather play Edmonton for sure. Edmonton has a better opportunity of going cold in the playoffs, a la Stuart Skinner, even though he's played great. But when push comes to shove, you don't really know what you're going to get as the, for the Oilers. Truly, I mean, we've seen that years and years and years. So, okay, cool. So let's move on here. We're going to talk about the bottom 16 teams and how we're going to do this. Basically, like, I'm just going to name the team. If you have anything really hard input to put into it, by all means, a lot of these – I think we both don't necessarily know what is upcoming in their farm system in the AHL. But so if you have anything, obviously put it in. But basically, I'll give you the team and then give you a range. And you can either agree or say no to when they will be a playoff team. Not a contender, but even just make the playoffs. Does that make sense? That's helpful.
Gotcha. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's start with the bottom of the barrel, the 32nd worst, the worst team in the league, the San Jose Sharks. Technically, I mean, you would think that they would get the number one overall pick in the draft lottery, but we know how that's going to go. So the San Jose Sharks, let's say 5 to 10 years before they're a playoff contender.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, unfortunately for them, that's about right. They had some surprising heart for a team as bad as they were. Like, if you watch any Sharks game, they played hard, and it was surprising to see decent hockey come out of that club. But yeah, it's before they're able to even sniff the playoffs. Yeah, 5 to 10. That's about right.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, getting Celebrini would be a huge uptick to their team, but we all know that's not going to happen. He's going to Chicago, like 100%. There's no doubt that Chicago is going to get the first overall again. No doubt about it.
But even if they do land him, right? Let's say something happens and it doesn't get rigged to Chicago. He lands in San Jose. That's still probably, there's still, I mean, at best 3 to 5, right? Like,
at least. Yeah. I'm firmly, even if they get Celebrini, I still firmly think, okay, if they don't get Celebrini 10 years before they're a playoff contender, easily. If they get Celebrini, I'm still saying like 5 to 7.
Yeah.
So like, because there's nobody there right now, literally nobody. And they're going to have to try to get some vets to come to San Jose. Like, I mean, I get it, it's California, but that's still going to be real tough. Real, real tough. Okay, so move on to the Blackhawks, 31st team in the league. I mean, you know, they got Bedard. They brought Taylor Hall over. They re-signed Nick Foligno. Same thing. They're going to have to get some veterans on that team. They're going to have to get some guys that aren't AHL guys on the team. So I'm going to say playoff contender. I'm going to give that 5 to 7. Or I'm going to say 3 to 7. 3 to 7.
Yeah, it feels like if they – nothing. No disrespect to Peter Mrazek. But like that guy,
he's played great this year, actually.
Absolutely, for what they for what that team is, he's been pretty good for them. But they probably need a world-class Tendi, and that doesn't even address any of their other problems. So yeah, like
that's right.
I feel like five seems about right. I'm gonna go with five. Yeah, that seems about right. Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. I would say at least minimum five. That's why I brought five for sure. Easily five. I think in three seasons they could probably be sniffing, like on the outskirts, be that like St. Louis Blues team, maybe that Minnesota Wild team, just on the outskirts, right? But it's still going to be at least five until they're a legit contender to even make the playoffs, I think. Anaheim Ducks. You know what? I'm saying 10 years regardless for the Anaheim Ducks, 10 to 15 years.
God, I hate that because I want the Ducks.
I do too. I just don't know what they're doing. Like, what are you doing legitimately? What are you doing? I just don't see a future in this team.
No, me neither. And we talked about it in the I loved their offseason. They bring in Kaloran, they bring in Goody, they hold on to Gibby. Like they gave Zegras the bag, who like he's been on and off the ice, and even when he's been on the ice, hasn't been great. To echo your point, I don't know what they're doing. So even when they do things right, it's still not right. So yeah, 10 seems to be legit, unfortunately for them.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think, you know, like those guys that you said that they brought in, and I loved those moves too. But a guy like Frank the Tank Vatrano, who had a great season, especially early on, he's coming up. He's going to be, I think, a UFA next season. So, like, you not only have to continue, if you want to keep him around, which you should, I mean, you have to pay him. You have to pay these other guys to come in. Like, I just feel there's nobody really locked up. I mean, yeah, Zegras is here for the next few years, but he hasn't done anything. So it's going to be a tough run. I mean, they got Michkov. He seems like a promising kid, but you're going to build the team around him? That's tough. Okay, moving up, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, I do know a little bit because I've listened to Frank Saravalli talk about the Blue Jackets. They do have a ton of prospects that are not necessarily NHL ready yet, but they got guys in the pipeline that could very well be great NHLers. I mean, they already have Razzle Dazzle, Kent Johnson. They got Chinnikov. They got Marchenko. They got I'm forgetting his name right now, but they got guys. So did I say Chinnikov? Yeah. Chinnikov, no. Marchenko. And there's another but I just can't, I'm losing it right now. Anyway, it's another Russian guy. But anyway, so for Columbus, I do think that they potentially could, if now this lies on getting a good GM in place. And I think probably a different coach, because I don't think what's his name isn't doing it. Pavel, whatever. Anyway, point being, I'm going to say at least 5 years, but I do think in 5 years they could be a playoff team.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'd like to lean the other way. Just again, like I said about the Sharks, like you watch Blue Jackets games and they play tough. And they played tough teams really hard, and they were rarely. I mean, they of course got blown out sometimes, but like there was games you'd watch that you'd assume they were going to get blown out, and they didn't. They just went out and played hard. They're missing some pieces, but to your point, if they've got the dudes coming up, then I feel like five seems. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I want to go three, but five seems same. Right.
Same, yeah. The next team up. This one is hard. This one's really tough. It's the Arizona Coyotes. Well, here's the thing with that. And I was going to save this for the empty net, but this tracks right now. Frank Saravalli reported today, 4 hours ago, that NHL is drafting two schedule versions for next season. One with the Yotes in Arizona, another one with the relocated franchise playing in Salt Lake City. He says, fluid situation, lots of moving parts, details on dual paths and potential transaction, end quote. So with that said, I mean, just that in general, yeah, it's Arizona and like, hey, great. I get to live in the desert every single day, but getting guys to sign and go there, I think is just going to be really, really difficult because you don't know what the future of this franchise is. So like, are you going to pack up your entire family or pack up yourself even and move across the country, let's say, or just move there when you don't know what the future holds? Like, so, you know, I wish it was less, but I'm given a hard 10 years on this team, and they're probably not going to be in Arizona in that time, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, man, this season, yeah, you can go back and listen to, you know, our off season talking about Arizona. Like, we started this show chirping Arizona real hard. And it feels like we're about to be going back to that because they broke our hearts this year. Both of us loved their offseason. And then at the beginning of the season, they played hard and it looked like maybe they could save this thing. But to your point, like who's going to go there? Like, I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but who's going to go there? And it's too much out in the open, too much question marks. My heart wants to say more like 7, but yeah, 10's probably right. I mean, I just don't see who's going there. And then within that time, if they go to Salt Lake, which it's looking more and more like is going to happen, who's going there? So.
Well, and to that point, I don't think they have anybody on the back end signed for next year right now. I'm pretty sure they maybe, yeah, because I think Dursey was just a 1-year deal. So I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure they don't have anybody signed on the back end for next season. Yikes. And it's the end of the year right now. So that's tough. Props to them. I think I said they were going to win 45 games this year. I think I said 40 or 45. I have to look back at the actual notes. But they got 33. And with 4 games left, they could very well get 37 wins. So I do think that's a pretty successful season of what we thought they could do. But yeah, that's the Yotes. So moving on. Next up, the Montreal Canadiens sitting in essentially the 27th out of 32nd place in the league. You know, I wish it was a lot sooner, but I'm saying easily 5-7 for this squad. I think. I wish it was more like 2-4, but I think that's upwards of 7 years to get all the guys in the pipeline ready to play in the NHL. Though Slavkovsky, who they drafted, I mean, he just had a hat trick yesterday. I mean, they put a 9 spot up in the Flyers. Yeah. And if they could get Kirby Dach healthy, another guy that can't seem to stay healthy, this team is promising. You know, Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, now that guy Slavkovsky. And then who's the other guy they drafted? Reinbacher on the back end. So a lot of promise, but I mean, I still don't see very much in their future for another at least 5-7.
I watched a lot of Montreal Canadiens hockey this year. I loved watching the Habs. Just because we've been so lockstep, I'm going the other way. five seems right. And like you, I actually kind of want to go sooner. But after watching them so much, like, I feel like, I mean, obviously I don't even know Jack Edge on D, but they locked up Montembeault this year. They, Primo has looked decent in the 1A spot. God, my gut is saying 3. My gut is saying 3 years.
I would love to see it. I'd love to see it.
But maybe that is just not homerism, but just proximity after watching them so much. Maybe that's just what it is.
Montreal as a playoff team and a contender is good for hockey. That's one of the teams that is good for hockey. Moving on, this team just really upset both of us this year. It's the Ottawa Senators, and truly, I don't know if this team will ever be a playoff contender again. Truly, not with this squad. We were hopeful for them, but dude, this was an awful, terrible year that they don't. That's the thought that I have with the Ottawa Senators. So like, by all means, take it away. I don't have a number for this because I don't think they're ever making the playoffs again at this point. Truly, I truly feel that way. Like watching them was. I watched for sure two full games, and I tuned in to probably three other ones. And the amount of time that I spent watching the Ottawa Senators was such a complete waste of my time. It was not good at all.
Well, I truly don't understand that team at all, because they played Buffalo, what, 2 weeks ago, and they chased 6K within 5 minutes. They put six up on them, and it's like, well, where's that been all year? And then they run down the Devils. Like they've had a decent stretch these last 2 weeks, but where's that been all season? And you look at this again. You can't play hockey on paper, but you look at this team on paper, they should be sniffing the playoffs at least. There's no reason they should be this bad. I don't understand it. But they are, and I can't continue to get bit this way. Like we keep going. It's kind of like the way we approach Edmonton in the playoffs. I'll believe it when I see it with Ottawa. I'll believe that they're actual contenders when I see it. I'm no longer putting my chips in Ottawa. So look, man, like it feels semi-hyperbolic. You don't think they'll ever make it again, but I mean, it does. The way they've played and the way this team has been, it does seem at least a minimum like Anaheim 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call. I just didn't want to be the one to say it again because I've been saying kind of the same thing. But truly, man, like I wish it was better, but it's just not, clearly. A lot needs to change more than just on the ice. I mean, I know a new owner and a new GM, but I don't know. I'm not sure that anybody can get out of anybody else's way to get things done that need to get done is kind of how I see it. So hopefully it's not the case.
I don't know where else to put this, so I'll tag this here. But it's also just a weird organization, man. Like, so this is the same team where like Greg has the open net slap shot, right? Like a couple weeks ago, however long ago that was. And then just last week, Nico Hischier at the end of the Devils game, like he's breaking away on an empty net. The whistle at the last second, he pulls up and the puck goes in, like it glides in. And Brady Tkachuk loses his freaking mind. It's like
a little baby. Yes.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Maybe it's if you weird. Played with that intensity the rest of the game, you maybe would have won.
Who knows?
Who knows? Moving on to another Canadian team, the Calgary Flames. Even though they got rid of everybody this year, but really, I think this is promising because they can truly start. And I don't even necessarily know that they need to fully rebuild, maybe just a retooling. We know Markstrom is probably going to be gone since, you know, there was that no trade, the trade that fell through. That's kind of an awkward thing to still be there. I think I said that on the show before. But then again, maybe he sticks around to bring Wolf in to the league and give Wolf the, some mentoring to get him ready to be a full-time NHL goalie. Who knows? But I do think that this team actually has a quicker chance of turning things around. I'm going to say 2-4 for this team. I think they can, because they're still kind of in it, sort of, until they got rid of everybody. They were still sniffing the playoff spot. So I'm going to say 2-4 for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, 3-3 was my instinct, so I'm going to stick with that. 3 is my instinct. If you watched any Calgary Flames hockey, like they'd have these moments where they looked like they should. But yeah, like I don't think they're that far off. A couple pieces, you know, we'll see what happens with this Markstrom. The Markstrom deal could end up being like a key to turning them around faster. Like maybe they get the pieces that, You know what I mean? So
could be.
To me, it does feel like they're only like three seasons out from being in the playoffs. So three is my answer. Long winded.
That's fine. Moving on to another team that broke our hearts this year, and I'm just kind of fed up with them, is the Buffalo Sabres. Once again, they were supposed to have a better season, and they had a worse season, and they've had all the same guys on that squad. They've even added some pieces, and they were worse. So that, to me, is like – and here's the thing. They're in that kind of middle ground bad team where they're still not going to have a really high draft pick. They're going to have a mid draft pick, and that's not really going to do you any good either. Truly. No. I mean, that mid draft, what's it going to turn into? Maybe an NHL player. So it's kind of like you have a lot of the core locked up: Thompson, Dahlin, Power.
Cousins.
I'm drawing a blank. Cousins. Yep. You got the core locked up, but I think there's also you may have to send one of those guys away to get some pieces in return because you need a jumpstart, I think. So I think this team, like, I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt and say three, but really I'm leaning more towards five, unless they do that, where I think it's great that you have the core locked up, but maybe you got to get rid of one to get some pieces back so you can actually jumpstart this process to either be worse and get some better draft positioning or finally be better and move up in the standings. Does that make sense?
Totally.
They're sort of in purgatory, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And there's positives, obviously. 6K looks like he got the seasoning he needed. I mean, that goalie core, all three of them looked terrible at the beginning of the year. 6K, Levi, and Comrie looked awful. 6K locked in, and he's looked pretty good. Levi's looked pretty decent. And I know Comrie's come on in relief here and there. So, like, the goalie tandem seems to have worked itself out. But what about the rest of the guys? You hate to see – I mean – when we were doing the show, Mittelstadt got traded. We didn't see that coming. And I wouldn't have called him core. Obviously, they didn't view him as core, but somebody else is probably going to have to go. And you hate to see it because it felt like this was the year they were going to step into the playoffs. And the fact that they aren't, I'm going to go a little more optimistic than your five, three, but I give that reluctantly. I think your five is probably right. And I think I just like the players too much. And that's why I'm going lenient on them. So three.
I mean, I hope to be wrong. I truly hope to be wrong because I love seeing the Sabres be good. So actually the Sabres, your team, the New Jersey Devils, and the Seattle Kraken all have the same points, 79. I'm going to go to Seattle here first because I imagine you'll have a little bit more to say about the Devils. Seattle, obviously they had a great turnaround season last year, which was really above and beyond where they're really at. So if we're taking the first year and this year is a true progression of where they're at, obviously in the first year they were way further down the standings. Seattle, again, they're kind of in that purgatory where they're not bad enough to get a really good draft pick, and they're not good enough to necessarily have people want to go there. Maybe it is kind of turning into a destination that people want to go. I just think the same thing that I kind of said for Buffalo. I think they have to give up some of their guys, like a Larson, and maybe even like Yanni Gourde, although he's not really that young, like a Larson. And I'm trying to think, I have his name in my head, but I'm just going to keep stalling otherwise. But anyway, like give up a Larson and give up maybe another piece to get some guys, maybe a more veteran presence, some guys that can score, some guys that can play defense. I'm not really sure, but I just think I like that they've slow played this. I've said that before, but I feel like if you're really going to make a jump, you got to make a move. And I feel like that's where the same thing kind of like I said for Buffalo. So for this Seattle team, for them to get back, I'm saying three at least. And unless they make a move like that, could be sooner. But I just think they're in that purgatory again. They need to make a move.
Yeah. I hate just echoing what you're saying, but like that, it feels right. Like I think this year feels like a disappointment to them just because they had a great year last year. And it's hard to hold that against them because they're still a new team. So the fact that we had such high hopes for them speaks well to the franchise in and of itself, like how it's run. But yeah, like there are a couple players away from, I don't see them stepping back next year, but I also don't see this roster stepping forward next year either. So
that's fair.
Yeah, three. Yeah, three seems right.
All right, your New Jersey Devils. I'm sure you have a lot to say about that. I mean, I'm just going to be real from, you know, again, they kind of overshot last season. Obviously, the injury to Dougie Hamilton doesn't help. But we talked about this on a show before, you know, the GM didn't foresee the back end problems. I mean, he didn't bring anybody in to really help Dougie. Like, you have a back end that's all young guys and like, just, okay, you guys are going to do it because you did okay in the play. Like, you got to bring some people in to help out. I'm going to say 4 years for the Devils.
Yikes. I don't think that's true, but I totally hear what you're saying. I came to peace with this season being a disappointment because they overshot last year. I don't think anybody could have seen Siegs and Marino taking as many steps back as they did this year. Like, Siegs has been terrible, and I hate to say it because I love the guy, but he's been awful. And I think between those two and Ham, you think you have the defensive leadership. You have, that's half the core. That's half of the six. You think that's enough. You don't see Nemitz doesn't see the ice if Ham doesn't go down. So, to me, from seeing them play, and especially after Lindy gets fired and seeing Timo come into form, I feel like we're one veteran D-man away and a good, like, elite goalie, like a true starting goalie. Because you look at how much better they've played with Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen. You know what I mean?
True. Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, if you had fired Lindy 20 games earlier and brought in Jake Allen 20 games earlier, I mean, this, we could be having a different conversation right now, truly.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. So you Devils Reddit, why didn't they bring in Jake Allen earlier? Because he had a no trade clause and New Jersey was on it. Like, what can you do?
True. Yep.
Apparently Fitzy was on the phone trying to make a Tendy deal basically all season. I can make excuses, you know, a mile long. I think Vitek was playing hurt. Firstly, the fact that he's still not seen the ice in San Jose tells me there was something going on there. But you know, that to me, they're back in the playoffs next year. Now, I don't know if that is just a true homerism, but like, it really depends. It really depends. They need a good head coach hire. And, you know, if Fitzy muffs the head coach hire, then I'm with you and it's probably 4 years. But if they get a good coach in, I could see, I see them just on talent alone. And again, obviously, you know, all these caveats, they need a D-man, they need a veteran D-man. And you need that other Tendy. Like, Jake Allen can't take the majority of the games. He's got to be your 1B. if all those things happen, they're back in, right back in the playoffs next year. I don't think they're cup contenders, but I think they're back in. If one of those things doesn't happen, then it probably is at minimum two seasons, probably more like you said, 3 to 4.
There's plenty of coaches on the market that they could hire. I think a Jay Woodcroft on that team would probably be a solid, solid grab as a head coach. Moving on, we kind of already talked about them. The Philadelphia Flyers now out of a playoff spot. They're 21st in the league. I mean, initially, let's see, what did I say last season? 2026, 27? Is that what I told Corey? I forget what I chirped at him. So I'm still standing by that. I mean, it's surprising that they did so well this year. So here's the thing. I'll say this because I'm just sticking by 26, 27 seasons when they're actually going to get in. And I said it before too, Torts is the coach that kind of gets the general foundation laid on this team, but he's not going to be the one that gets him in the playoffs, I don't think. Especially after how we've seen this downfall over the last month because of how he coaches. Again, going back to the old boys club needs to GTFU, you know what I mean? GTFO, because it doesn't work anymore. It's not the world or the league that we live in or we play in anymore. Whether you like it or you're not, or you don't like it, it's not the place that we live in 2024. That type of coaching for an entire year just doesn't work. It's good at times to get you motivated, but it just doesn't work. So anyway, I'm sticking by that 26, 27. So three seasons.
I want to stick with you here, but I feel like they've really done a detriment to themselves this year. Corey said when we asked him, it's playoffs or bust, right? Like not because, you know, they're on the feeder to the fire, but because they need the draft picks, they need the people, and they just played really well and now they're fading fast. To your point, Torts seems to have lost the room. So I think I want to again give them the benefit of the doubt because they were able to do this with the club that they have, the present. So like three, I think, is the low end, but I feel like it's more like five for them. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. The Flyers have been a tremendous story this year, but I just don't know that they did any favors for the club.
Breaking news, Justin, from Frank Zeravalli. Quote, sources tell Daily Faceoff, NHL, Arizona Coyotes, and Smith Entertainment Group have made significant progress on the framework of an agreement to relocate Yotes to Salt Lake City, Utah. NHL memo updated governors today. Not done, many layers and lawyers, much work to do. But signs point to Salt Lake City.
I better get
you heard it here first.
Sweater. Yeah, I better get a coyote sweater fast.
You heard it here first, exactly. But yeah, I agreed. You know, again, kind of blasphemy. I would like to see this team be better sooner, but I just don't see it happening. I think there's a lot more work to be done. Speaking of a lot more work to be done, the Minnesota Wild, Justin, in that purgatory 20th spot. Well, let's see. They got one more season with all that cap hell. So in two seasons, they're going to actually have some money to work with. But I'm going to say three seasons because I would love to see once they're on a cap hell that they just go scorched earth and they win the Central. But I still think that it's going to take a little time for the pieces that they bring in. You know, you bring in pieces, they don't always mesh well right away, right? So I'm going to say three seasons, Minnesota Wild playoff contenders.
Just to go with a different number, I'm going to say two, but I think you're right. I think it's three. The fact that they've been able to make the playoffs so many times, they don't do well in the playoffs, but they still get there and they've played well. The fact that they were able to turn this season around and be even in the discussion, even though it was only for a brief manner, says something. So I think they're not that far off. It's just we know that they can't do anything next year. So they're going to have the same club going into next year, and I don't think that does them any favors. So you're looking at minimum two. I think it's more likely three, but my heart says two, so I'm going with two.
And I just feel bad for Flower. I wish he would have said he wanted to get traded. I mean, I admire him because he was like, no, I'm sticking with this team because we're going to, I want to do it with this team. But I feel bad for Flower that his streak is ended because he's making the playoffs this year. So that's
I wish we could have gotten Flower. I would have definitely taken Flower this season.
Oh, yeah. All right. We got three more teams to talk about. This first one, Detroit Red Wings. I mean, this was the last year of the 3 years where I said 3 years ago that they were going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they're right there. They just – obviously, they couldn't pull the trigger. So I don't really know what the future holds, truly. I don't think Patty Kane's going to stick around. I think he's going to be somewhere else next year, probably. So I guess three – because I said 3 years when they had Nedeljkovic, before they had DeBrincat. You know, I guess I'll just say three more years. Three more years until Detroit's actually in playoff contention.
This feels like very much like the Buffalo conversation where both of us had them firmly in a playoff position this year. And again, I don't think they're not mathematically out yet, right? Like they're still technically in it.
No, they still could. Yeah, they still could.
But man, like they've shown nothing, to say that we want it. And if you don't do that, then what do you do in the playoffs anyway? So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt just because they were in the conversation. I'm going to say that they're in the playoffs next year. Oh, that's going to hurt. That's going to sting.
I mean, the last two, I mean, really Detroit was technically a playoff contender right now too, but we already talked about the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're both calling they're going to make it this year, so we don't really have much else to say. If they don't, I hope they don't try to run it back with the same squad next year because didn't work very well, did it? No. And I feel bad for Sid. I hope Sid goes somewhere else. Truly. Yeah, he deserves a good cup contending team. And then my team, Washington Capitals, technically they're still sniffing there, but dude, give me a full rebuild.
I was going to say, is this the same detriment that Philly caused themselves? Like, did they really just shoot themselves in the foot, you think?
Yeah, well, they didn't do themselves any favors, that's for sure. You know, so you're going to get a mid draft pick for being a mid team, right? They have a lot of guys. I mean, literally this team that is in this position is essentially an AHL team. I mean, 75% of the guys are just called up from the Hershey Bears and they've done pretty well for it. So they have a lot of good guys in the system. Hershey wins the AHL championship, the Calder Cup every single year, pretty much. So they have the guys. I mean, obviously, Ovi is now, I want to say, 48 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record. Since we're right up against it, I'll just say this piece of news. He hit his 18th 30-goal season, which is the most in NHL history. So stick taps to Ovi. But yeah, I mean, if they don't make it this year, which I hope they don't, truly, because they'll just get embarrassed. You know, easily five years, probably more like seven, 5 to 7 for the Capitals to truly be a contender again, I think.
I hope for your sake that they don't make it and that they just deal off whatever pieces they can and keep Ovi, obviously. Yeah. But like try to get pieces and, you know, Ovi can get those 48 goals and then he can ride off into the sunset and then you can just start the rebuild next year with Ovi as being the only piece. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all.
Nothing wrong with it. And keep Chucky too, because he's a better goaltender than Darcy. All right. Well, it took a full hour longer than we knew that always was going to happen. Yep. So we got to head out of here, but we'll be back next week for more Barn Chirpers. Until then, keep your head up, play to the whistle, stick taps and sell these boys, clap it up.
Prime it up.